Chapter 32. Though that he had been seen slinking off shamefully, but to run to the front rail and shout after him would have been childish, crude, undignified. And to shout what? What word? What phrase? No, it was impossible. Then how? She frowned, discovered it, dashed at the piano, which had stood open all night, and made the rosewood monster growl savagely in an irritated bass. She struck chords, as if firing shots after that straddling, broad figure in ample white trousers, and a dark uniform jacket with gold shoulder straps, and then she pursued him with the same thing as he had played the evening before, a modern fierce piece of love music which had been tried more than once against the thunderstorms of the group. She accentuated its rhythm with triumphant malice, so absorbed in her purpose, that she did not notice the presence of her father, who, wearing an old threadbare ulster of a check pattern over his sleeping suit, had run out from the back veranda to inquire the reason of this untimely performance. He stared at her. What on earth? Freya. His voice was nearly drowned by the piano. Hats become of the lieutenant? He shouted. She looked up at him, as if her soul were lost in her music, with unseeing eyes. Gone. Why ain't he? Where? She shook her head slightly, and went on playing louder than before. Old Nelson's innocently anxious gaze, starting from the open door of his room, explored the whole place high and low, as if the lieutenant were something small which might have been crawling on the floor or clinging to a wall. But a shrill whistle coming somewhere from below pierced the ample volume of sound rolling out of the piano in great, vibrating waves. The lieutenant was down at the cove, whistling for the boat to come and take him off to his ship. And he seemed to be in a terrific hurry too, for he whistled again almost directly, waited for a moment, and then sent out a long, interminable, shrill call as distressful to hear, as though he had shrieked without drawing breath. Freya ceased playing suddenly. Going on board, said old Nelson, perturbed by the event. Hat could have made him clear out so early? Queer chap. Devilishly touchy too. I shouldn't wonder if it was your conduct last night that hurt his feelings. I noticed you, Freya. You as well as laughed in his face while he was suffering agonies from neuralgia. It isn't the way to get yourself liked. He's offended with you. Freya's hands now reposed passive on the keys. She bowed her fair head, feeling a sudden discontent, a nervous lassitude, as though as he had passed through some exhausting crisis. Old Nelson, or Nielsen, looking aggrieved, was revolving matters of policy in his bald head. I think it would be right for me to go on board just to inquire sometime this morning, he declared fussily. Why don't they bring me my morning tea? Do you hear, Freya? You have astonished me, I must say. I didn't think a young girl could be so unfeeling. And the lieutenant thinks himself a friend of ours too. What? No? Well, he calls himself a friend, and that's something to a person in my position. Certainly. Oh, yes, I must go on board. Must you? Murmured Freya listlessly, then added, in her thought. Poor man. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.